WTF, we're doing a podcast. I'm Nikki.
And I'm Michelle. This is 50. Welcome to What the 50. Join us on our continued journey to simplify our lives.
We will seek the answers from the experts and offer tips, tools, and techniques to live your life with confidence and joy. Are we ready? Let's go.
Hi, Tanya. I'm Michelle.
Hi, Nikki.
You're looking fabulous this morning.
Yes.
Thank you. I forgot that today was the 14th, guys. I'm sorry, I did.
Well, happy Valentine's Day.
Same to you.
You're ready for the day already?
I don't know about the day, but I'm ready for this.
So here we are with Tanya Case from Wife Material. Michelle, can you believe this?
I know. I'm dying to hear what wife material actually means.
Oi.
So let me tell you a little bit about how I know about Tanya is that somebody that works with me was one of her cohorts, and she recently just got married. So I said, rush this thing work.
Oh, gosh. Well, I'm glad to hear that. I'm glad to hear that. Last year, we had 8 persons who got married.
Wow.
Yeah, we're really grateful for that. We had a couple of engagements as well. And this year is looking to be very festive. So wow. Thanks for that. But what is wife material about? It's not as cotton candy as it sounds. You know how people say, oh, wife material, that just sounds like you guys just, you know, come together and learn how to cook and learn how to, you know, put your best foot forward for your husband. It's really not about that. It is, if it's anything, it's about really healing women, becoming whole in yourself so that you can be one with the person, not just one with that, with the person, but so that you can be ready for life. So it deals with unpacking the past. That's a module that is probably the one that will never be forgotten. It's rough, but it is. It takes them through the process of healing, going back to the places where trauma happened, releasing people, and just being healed in those areas and being prepared now to not make decisions based on what happened before and how you were traumatized, reacting. But to be whole and to be emotionally imbalanced and ready for life. So you're a better mom, you're a better co-worker, you're a better friend, and you're better able to be a spouse, actually.
So, wow, so this is what you call trauma mapping?
Mm-hmm. Yes, we do trauma mapping. Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
From the womb, you know, because some persons were traumatized from within the womb and they suffered rejection from then, you know, and even being brought up, going through, just reacting, not even understanding why they have certain tendencies.
Well, I have to be honest with you and tell you that we're happy to hear that it's more than just about being a good wife, making sure that you're there at 5 o'clock when they come in with their slippers and having the meal on the table. Because when Michelle and I were talking, discussing you as a guest, we were like, do we really believe in this? So we are dying to hear more about it. And as one of our previous guests had said, you know, when she was preparing her, she had to prepare herself to be open to have a relationship, and when she really worked on herself, she made a better partner. So I assume it's the same type of philosophy.
Absolutely.
Personally, it's full preparation, which I think that a lot of times we get caught up in the preparing for the wedding and not preparing for the marriage.
Exactly.
And the wedding is the food and the festivities and all of that. And then happens after, once that is done, paying the bill,
what happens after that? Exactly. Yes. And if you haven't sorted out, if you haven't dealt with your own issues, I remember one friend, he said to me, listen, God would never give you one of his son. You would wreck them. And I was just like, that's terrible to say. And I thought about it. I was like, you're so right. You're so right. Because I was a hot mess. I was. I had created laws, just personal laws, because I had, you know, I had been hurt. And so here I was reacting. So anyone who came close to me, I was really very defensive and just harsh and cold. And, you know, so I would make a terrible wife and mom at that time.
But Tanya, tell me something. Was it your, how did you come up with wanting to be this mentor and creating this whole mentorship program? Was it out of your personal experience? Or did you just see that there was a need for it? Because there is a need for it. There's no doubt.
You said want to. You said the word want. And I'm like, I'm stuck right there. Want. Okay. Let me tell you. I am a Christian.
Yeah.
I wrote my first book. And I thought, you know, there it is. I got it out. That's it. I'm done. And then, you know, this woman, she was just like, you know, you're going to write this book. And I'm like, listen to me, lady. You mean me well, but it's okay. I'm not doing that. And one day I had done a women's conference, and it was called Woman Made Whole. And from that, it was just churning as I heard them speak in a way that's not intimate. They were in an environment that was not intimidating. And they were opening up. And I'm like, oh my God, the souls of women. I was just like, the souls are hemorrhaging. And that's why these relationships, it's a cyclical thing that's happening. And if you're looking and seeing that these relationships look much the same, something is wrong. And so from there, you know, spending time in prayer, I got this whole thing, wife material. I'm like, that is funny. I'm not writing anything that says wife material. I don't even like that. I do not like the title. I don't like that. There's a stigma with that. I don't want to be that girl. But I started started writing. And then I got this, the sense that I should research fabric. The four natural fibers, the most popular ones, cotton, wool, linen, silk. And as I was doing my research here, I was like, but these sound like personalities. These are like people. These are people, just the way that the silk is put together, the wool, the cotton, and the processing to make something beautiful, the way that linen and cotton become wrinkled. I liken it to offense, how offendable you are and how you crease and how a deeper crease is a deeper hurt. And I just started going into that and looking at silk, which one filament of silk equal that of steel. And I said, the strength of a woman who would be considered to be flaky. And so I kind of just wove everything together, no pun intended, into this personality test and different women, everyone who goes through wife material, you go to the website, TanyaCase.com. You can take the personality test and see how am I socially disposed? And it really helps people to say, I'm okay with me. I'm okay with me. Unless it is, let me tell you something as I interrupt myself. When we start the 12-week program of wife material, because the mentorship program, that's the duration of it. Some persons would take their personality test, and at the end of it, before the end of it, sometimes midway, they will retake it and say, this is really who I am. I'm reacting. I am reacting. I've changed from a wool to a cotton, and none is better than the other. It's just who you are. Mm-hmm. You have the cotton wife material is very social, like myself. Love people, run into people, and just enjoy people. And then you have the silk person who is detail oriented, but can be a lot to deal with because she's high maintenance. And so she likes things to be done at a particular level. And there's nothing wrong with that. The linen is also detail oriented, but more pliable, more, you know, after a while. And I liken the fact that a fresh linen is stiff, but as she gets warmed up to you and get to know you, then she relaxes a bit, just like the fabric, you know, it relaxes and it's more pliable. and you'll get more out of it. So, okay, there's my ramble. I'm stopping now.
I love that, though.
I like it too. I like it a lot.
I think, Michelle, we got to take that test.
We need to take that test to see what fabric we are, what material we are.
Yes.
For sure. You know, the first time I actually heard the term wife material was actually at my wedding, at our reception. My husband's cousin was giving his speech. And he says, yes, Michelle is wife material. He was welcome. That is his way of welcoming me to the family.
Yes.
And I took it as a warm welcome.
Right.
I didn't think it was a negative term at all. I thought it was his way of saying, you know, Michelle is the best person for Chris. And we're happy that Michelle is here with us. You know, I took it that way. But when we saw the name of your mentorship program, I thought it was actually interesting that you had used that name, because it's preparing yourself for yourself almost, because it's not just preparing yourself for another person.
No.
It is so deep. You get into so much, you know, the trauma mapping and so on. At the end of it, you begin to recognize exactly who you are.
Right.
And are you ready for this? So what do you do if someone is not ready for marriage based on the mentorship program?
And I don't have a problem with that. I tell them that that's not a problem. Continue your processing.
Mm-hmm.
Because every fabric has to be processed. Every one of us, even the negative things that we've gone through in life, they become a plus to us eventually if we handle them properly. The problem is that we don't deal with it.
Yes, yes.
I at 11, at age 11, I lost two of my brothers within 5 months, tragically. So one was shot and killed and one drowned. And it sent me in. Shortly after that, you know, I passed from Meadowbrook High School. And then, you know, it was an up. But in no time, here we are migrating and we're taking off to live in Florida, totally different place. Then we're split apart now. So I'm living with people I am not familiar with, although they're family. And there's more trauma that goes on. And I just went internal. I would think loudly. If I'm upset, that's as much as I could give you, a loud thought. Not even a facial expression. I didn't know how to communicate. And that took me on a long journey, because those wounds were there. And I didn't know, was I responsible for my brother's death? The thought that I had a dream that it was going to happen, and it didn't make any sense 3 days before. And so when all of that is inside here and I'm like, I'm guilty, I would just be guilty before. If you said, Tanya, did you walk in here and take up my book? I know I didn't do it, but I'm like, I wonder if I'm guilty anyhow. You know, so there are things that I carried, and these things just impact our lives. So unless someone sat down with you, or you are such a brave person that you can have a self-encounter, right? You're not able to unknot all those things that make you do life the way you do. And no one was really there to say, gosh, what are you going through? Because they're going through stuff as well, you know? So my mom, imagine her state of mind, losing two sons within a short period of time. So I was just happy that she's happy when she's happy, you know, and I'm just grateful for that. But all the while going further and further in, and I didn't even know that I was really that internal, living in America amongst children who just thought you were weird and say something, Jamaican girl, why don't you slide back to Jamaica on a banana skin? And, you know, so after a while, it was in a fight or two or three. It's like, what am I? I'm fighting for my nation here. I'm fighting for my nation, you know. But there's so much going on. And so it does take a bit of confronting and having mentors who will sit down and care about your heart, care about shepherding your heart. And that's a term that I've heard, and I use it a lot with my children. Shepherding their hearts, not just, you know, going in and just saying, you should do this, and da, 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 you know, but actually being delicate, being tender to deal with their delicate hearts. And so we are with people who really and truly need help. They don't know that they need help. When we do trauma mapping, it's usually a ball fest. And it you just have to go back there. Some persons will resist and say, no, I don't want to go back there. I don't want to go back there. But eventually you say, but you have to look at the girl that you, look at the 2023 version of you. Look at her. She's waiting. She's waiting, but she needs a heal. She needs you to do the work of healing. She needs you to do the Esther preparation, where Queen Esther, before she became queen, went through an entire year of being soaked in perfumes and being prepared, and just a long process. And that's what has to happen internally, so that when the person graduates wife material, it's not that your process is over, but you're so well equipped to deal with life. You know what to reach for in your toolkit. You know what is necessary, you know, and you can give people grace as well.
Mm-hmm. So Tanya, I think a lot of your programs that you have now come from your story. What I would love to hear about is about your story and how you met your husband, who is a musician and who you seem to have a very warm and loving relationship with. And I want to hear about this band that you and your family have.
I don't think we have a band at all. We're just all musical. My son was just recently, the eldest, was just recently accepted into Berkeley.
Congratulations.
And my other son is in college studying biology. He's being a brainy and being a musician. But my husband and then I have my little Chloe. I can't leave her out. But we love to sing together. We worship together. My husband and I met. So, you know, as I said, there are a lot of wounds. So I was not interested in meeting anybody, really. And I remember I went to church, and this friend of mine was like, hey, I want to introduce you to your husband. I said, I don't want to meet anybody. Trust me. I don't want to meet anybody. And she hauled me across the church. Hey, meet Arrington Case. You know, he's a musician and da, da, da. I'm like, wonderful. Hi, how are you? Great. Do you sing like your sister? No, I do not. And I was just really rather done. And it just so happened that I had something to move. I had a bed to move. And they said, you know, the only guy who has a van around here is Arrington Case. Maybe you should talk to him and ask him. I'm like, oh gosh, I can't go back to the guy and ask him anything now, because I'm not necessarily giving him any reason to think that I am a nice person. So I asked him, and he was just like, oh yeah, sure. And the amazing thing was, when he came to pick me up, he said, we started talking just about life. And I was like, wow, I love the soul of this guy. I love his soul, because our engagement was just seamless, and we were talking and everything. And he said, bro, his account is like, from I met you, I understood, do not play with this girl. Do not come with the foolishness. Say, yes, sir, do not play with this girl. But we started, he was in a mentorship program, interestingly, and his program ran for a year with Pastor Al Miller. They would meet hours of the morning, and they would, you know, he would just be tutoring them on being real men and taking responsibility, dealing with their past, and one holy of things. And so in our conversation, we could not, although we'll converse every night, we could not go out on a date, because they were not allowed to date.
Oh, really?
But no. So that allowed for a beautiful friendship to bud. After that, I saw that he was showing some kind of interest. He was dropping a hint or two, and I was just like, listen, you're not messing up our good friendship. I want this friendship for life, and I don't want you to mess it up. And, you know, because I was not in that space. And when he went away to end the program, they went to Dr. Miles Monroe's church in Bahamas. And when he went away, I was just like, what is this? A feeling? Oh my goodness. A feeling. What a thing. I wasn't doing that. I didn't know that it was even still there. So I just like really missed him. And then, you know, he came back and just, oh, I'm very interested in pursuing whatever. I'm like, So we tried. I know it was rough. It was rough because I had to get rid. It's one thing to learn. It's another thing to put in practice. My default position to go in anytime something is not pleasing, I would go in. And so the courtship process was, whoo, you know, but I just said, you know what? I'm going to get out of this. I'm going to get out of this. I'm not doing this. And I called my pastor's wife and I said, you know, I'm not going to. She's like, Tanya, you're not going to mess this up. I was like, oh, that's not what I want to hear. I don't hear that. But I stayed it out. And he is my best friend. I love him. We enjoy life together. The ebbs, the flows. Yeah, that's us.
And 20, this is 21 years later.
22, 23 come July.
Oh, 23. Okay, wow. Yeah.
Come July. Wow. So it's been quite a ride. Yeah. And yes, he used to play for Black Uhuru.
Oh, really?
Yes. And he played for Stitchy, for Chevelle. I went on tour with him once in Europe, and that was interesting. But he's an engineer as well as a musician. So hence.
And your children are into music as well.
Quite so. We're the sit together and sing family and enjoy singing and playing instruments and yeah. That's just
who we are. You were a broadcast journalist. You are an entrepreneur. You are a pastor, and now you are mentor with all these different programs. So you have gone, and of course I can't forget a wife and a mother, which we believe are our most important roles.
Yes.
Right. Yes. But so could you tell us a little bit about your program? So you have the wife material, which has just started their latest cohort, correct?
Yes. I just started that 4 weeks ago.
Okay.
Yeah. So it is based on, sorry that this is the version, my book is very worn.
That's a good sign.
Wife material. What we do, we couple it with the workbook. And the workbook, they call it exams because it's really self-confrontation. It's really confronting yourself. So for every module, you'll have these questions that you answer to go along, like, how easy is it for you to forgive and receive forgiveness? It's really digging into where you are, how you have reacted to trauma. When we do the trauma mapping in module 3, we actually allow you, the questions are here, and then you're reading along as well in chapter 3 of this book. So as to go deeper, it's one thing to read information, but it's now when you get to the place of how does it apply to me? What have I experienced and what have I decided as a result of what I have experienced? And so the process, and I'm telling you about the rougher part of it. When I say rougher, just because emotionally it is a lot. However, we do have fun. And we have our cook-off, so we do encourage you. Okay, so you want to be a wife, right? It involves a lot. And being a mom, you parent based on what's in your belief system. And so if I haven't dealt with my trauma, I pass it on to the next generation. And that, the thought of that is really what inspires me as well to help others to get to the best version of themselves. So the program really walks you through renewing your mind and how to date and how to choose a mate. What are you looking for? I like to use the phrase that I think it's Bishop McLean. He says, what you become, what you pursue will elude you, but what you become, you will attract. Mm-hmm. Right?
Law of attraction.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So the more you allow the healing process, the more you'll attract someone who is whole. And so we do take it all the way down to how to date. If you date, whether, and I prefer saying courtship, because it's dating for me is just trying this, trying that, testing out, as opposed to forming a safe zone where you have friends. And after a while seeing, does this, is this worth pursuing a relationship that leads to marriage? If before throwing all your pearls to swines, you know, and putting everything out there for your heart to have to recover from, it is being sober-minded so that you go into it, understanding your value. I like to quote where the Bible says, he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. So if he doesn't recognize you as a good thing, run. Because he will not, if you're a good thing and it is still unknown to him, he will treat you less than that good thing. And when you know that you are a good thing, when he knows that you're a good thing, he will treasure you and understand that you're an asset to him. You are his blessing and he is yours. And so when that is mutual, then you can see a relationship that will flourish, because I value what you bring and you value what I bring to the table. You know,
you make each other better, correct?
Yes. Yes. Sure. I like that.
So let me ask you a question. Is this a face-to-face program, online program?
Okay. It's both. It's okay. Both. So we have persons who are over 30 who are in the online program.
Okay.
Those who are under 30 are, and that's 20 to 30, they come physically to a meetup. And so we eat and laugh and ball and pray and do a lot of stuff together, including.
And Tanya, what size are your classes?
My classes can, the whole cohort can go, it can be anything, but usually we graduate like 23 persons at a time, 20 something.
Okay. Yeah. And I'm asking you that because it's a space where persons will become vulnerable.
Exactly. Exactly.
And you know, you don't want us, you know, a space where it's too large. You want to be able to feel
intimate,
comfortable in that safe zone. So I'm sure you have done everything to create that space.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
A lot happens there.
A lot. And it happens after, you know how, you know, group dynamics. When you're together testing out and you're finding if you can trust. So the early parts of it, you know, it's a building of trust, not just trust of this person who you probably don't know different from a bag of rice, but you're trying to find out about each other as well. And so what we do, we have a thing called accountability partners, APs. So everybody has that AP who says, hey, did you go through chapter 4 in the workbook? I'm stuck right here. What do you think? And so I say, you never come online without your AP. You never come to a meeting without your AP, are at least telling us what's going on. And they pray for each other. I've seen the bond that's created between APs. I mean, the other day, one AP flew in from Florida. And she came and had lunch with her AP. And I'm like, I didn't even know about it. I'm like, oh, are you guys just doing life? I mean, one wedding that happened last year, and the guy proposed at graduation. It was so sweet.
Oh my gosh, that's lovely.
So he called me and he's like, Auntie, what am I gonna do? How should I do this? I don't know anything. I don't know how to do this. And I'm like, okay, all right. I don't know him either, but he just said, you know, I figure you could help. I said, no problem. She loves to sing and she's always singing this one song, and she gets the whole cohort singing the song. So at the end of graduation, I'm going to ask her to lead the song. Like, naturally, we can't end without doing that song. So she was up singing and I told my husband, okay, turn down the music, create a problem with the sound. And so as she's singing, the sound is giving trouble, but she's such a champion that she just keeps on singing. And he's walking down with his roses and with everything. And the audience have up signs. Everybody put, "Will you marry me?" Oh. And it was one excitement. It was so sweet. It was so, so, so sweet.
Sounds so exciting.
So do you have a program? Is there any sort of follow-up after graduation?
Absolutely. They stay online. They stay in their groups. We bond together. Like every other month, we have a worship session together called Spent on Jesus. And they just come and just sit down, stretch out, relax in a corner and just worship and just hang out. Some are online, some are here physically. And also we have Young Wife Life, which is a different mentorship for wives, and just getting them to just build their marriage with wisdom, mm-hmm. with wisdom. And, you know, it deals with all the big stuff like communication, money, sex, everything that affects marriage. So we try to get the just core principles in there so that you cannot think that when your husband is not acting the way you want to, that he's your enemy. It's just not. So there's that training, which is the youngest. We've only done one cohort so far, and it was really wonderful. We had people from all over the place. And so that is primarily online.
And I also noticed that you have another one for men. Is that the Built in His Image mentorship?
Yes, that is my husband's, mentorship program. When I met him, he was mentoring 20 odd years ago. And so this is his comfort zone, just really building men. And he gets really practical. You know, they're different from us. So somebody asked a question. So is this husband material? He's like, absolutely not. Like, okay, fine. You just don't want to give it. You don't want it to sound like wife material. That's fine. So it's built in his image and it's, you know, manly. And sometimes I'm like, honey, you're too rough with them. He's like, honey, I don't have girls. I have men. They have to hear it. And they have to hear it right between the eyes. They got to get it. And so they relate totally different. I think he's on his third cohort now. And, you know, his men are marrying my girls.
Wow. Oh,
wow.
Yes. Yes. I don't have a problem at all. I really love it. I really love it.
That's excellent.
So where
I love that. I love the program.
So where can people sign up for your programs?
Okay. So you can sign up for wife mentorship. Or wife material, Young Wife Life, or wife material at TanyaCase.com.
Okay.
And you can also sign up for Built in His Image at ErringtonCase.com.
Okay.
And that is ErringtonCase.
And where can we find your blogs? Because you've written some blogs.
Right. So my blog is wifematerial.blog. You can find all the articles there. And we're on IG, Tanya C. Case. You can find us easily.
Of course.
And yeah, we just want to.
Before you go though, just to sweeten it a little bit, tell us about the sorrel.
The sorrel, oh my goodness. Michelle, why do you have to go there?
One of my favorite things to have is sorrel.
Really? It is so yummy. I'm not doing it now. And that's why I said, why do you have to go there? Because I loved doing it. I produced sorrel for a lot of companies, supermarkets here in Kingston, in hotels, in the airports. And so it was sorrel vinaigrette and dessert syrup.
You have to get back to it.
I do. We had a rough time. We had a rough time. There were just some challenges. And when we're ready again to really pick it up, actually, it was the sorrel you find inside of Chocolate Dreams.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice.
So, yeah.
That's a sweet way to end our chat.
Yes, it was really lovely hanging with you ladies. I really appreciate it.
Very interesting to hear all about it. And I think you're doing amazing work.
Yes, well needed.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah.
We look forward to more programs, hearing more about your cohorts. And I loved all the stories.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tanya.
Bless you, Michelle. Bless all you right. guys. Continue doing an excellent job.
And you the
Thank
same.
Thank you so much.
All righty. Take care now.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of What the 50. Please show your love and encouragement by sharing, subscribing, and leaving a review wherever you're listening.
And don't forget to like and follow us on Instagram. And please join our active Facebook group at What.the50.